Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Monday, September 11th. And wow, week one, almost done. Got Monday Night Football left, but quite a weekend. Some things that surprised us, some things maybe didn't, both good and bad in all areas. So I want to give on today's podcast the biggest takeaways from each of these games to get us set up for week two, a big waiver run. Of course, tomorrow's podcast, I'll cover the waiver wire. But man, oh man, I think before we get into that, though, the number one thing, this was week one. We have 13 weeks left in the fantasy football regular season. 13 weeks. Week one is by no means the destiny. Week one is by no means the destination. And honestly, 13 weeks left in the regular season. Ideally, though, 16 more weeks to play if we're going to make it to those fantasy championships. If you got off to a slow start, don't worry about it. Got plenty of time to go. Your season is not ruined after week one, even if you hit some of these injuries as well. It's not over. Take a deep breath. This was just 1 week, all right? So let's dive into it. Biggest takeaways here for you, starting with Carolina and Atlanta. Number one, biggest takeaway for me, the backfield is probably going to be more of a timeshare than we realized in Atlanta. That's not a bad thing. Bijan Robinson was very good in this game. That touchdown reception he had was a thing of beauty. In fact, he's the third Falcons player ever with 75-plus scrimmage yards and a touchdown in their first career game. But plain and simple, Tyler Allgeier did touch the ball a lot. He had 18 touches, 16 for Robinson. Robinson outsnapped Allgeier 31-26, though. Allgeier's going to have some value, more value than we thought. He's not just a handcuff. That's a good thing. Bijan Robinson, maybe it was more literal than I thought. He is a souped-up version of Cordero Patterson. By the way, don't freak out over Drake London. Don't freak out over Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts, if you are freaking out over Kyle Pitts, go watch the second reception. You only had two in the game, but watch the second one. It was a thing of beauty. Speaking of not freaking out, let's talk about Cincinnati and Cleveland. Don't freak out about Cincinnati. Chill. Chill. The Browns defense was no joke in this game. They only allowed 6 first downs. They held the Bengals to just 2 conversions on 15 third down attempts, 2.6 yards per play. Ugly, ugly, ugly. But good defense, no doubt about it. Probably the biggest takeaway for me, Jerome Ford actually used maybe a tick more than I had expected. Nick Chubb was still fantastic, though. 6 games out of 10 played against the Bengals. He's topped 100 rushing yards. He is really good in that area. But Jerome Ford has a little bit more value. You know, I did not expect to see him used as much as he was in this contest. Ultimately, 15 touches. There were 22 for Nick Chubb. Chubb outsnapped Ford 34-30. Now, part of that was towards the end. Game was a little bit out of hand. But Jerome Ford's going to have a little bit of value. We'll talk about him on the show tomorrow. Don't freak out over the Bengals. If anybody in your league is freaking out over the Bengals, make them pay for it by trading for them. Jacksonville, Indianapolis. People love to do victory laps in fantasy football way too early. And oh boy, my Twitter was lit up by people shoving in my face Calvin Ridley. Meanwhile, I did rank Calvin Ridley as a top 15 play this week. Depending on your scoring format, might have even been as high as 12 in my rankings. This was a matchup. It was a great matchup. And Ridley did quite well. Now, Zay Jones also showed up here. Here's the concerning thing. And I think, you know, Ridley, let's not get out over our skis. Great start. Hopefully this continues for everybody who drafted him. Ridley ran 33 routes. Zay Jones ran 32. Christian Kirk ran 22. That's really concerning for Christian Kirk. No doubt about it. Good start for Anthony Richardson. It was a knee bruise, by the way. He should play this upcoming week. That was exactly what I had hoped to see. And boy, that connection with Michael Pittman is good, man. Hope you drafted Michael Pittman out of value. Giddy up. All right, Tampa, Minnesota. Surprise, surprise. Baker Mayfield? I mean, he's going to be in the Superflex conversation. That was a heck of a win for that team and, you know, just exciting to see in general. But here's my big takeaway. Be careful with Jordan Addison. Yes, he had 61 and a touchdown, six targets. Same amount of targets as KJ Osborne, but here's the routes run. Justin Jefferson, 46, no surprise. KJ Osborne, 43. Jordan Addison, 31. I know you're not in a points per route run league. I get that. We all get it. You don't get points for that. The challenge here, he's clearly the number three. Now, he did what he was supposed to do, at least initially with this, the field stretching touchdown. But I want opportunities. First and foremost, you got to be on the field for those opportunities. Moving on to Tennessee and New Orleans. Man, a lot of field goals in this one. We did have the Rashid Shaheed touchdown. We'll talk about him tomorrow, but he was behind Michael Thomas and Chris Olave in routes run. Thomas, 35, Olave, 32, Rashid Shaheed, 25. The other big one here, so Derrick Henry out-touched Tajay Spears 18-4. Tajay Spears out-snapped Derrick Henry 33-28. Now, that isn't a reason to think that like Derrick Henry is all of a sudden going to be in this full-blown committee. But it is reason to think that the Tennessee Titans are maybe going to expand what Tajay Spears does from a touch standpoint, because four touches is nothing. But as we go forward, Tajay Spears will have some value more than just Derrick Henry's handcuff. Like when I'm talking about like Zamir White, who barely played for the Raiders yesterday, he's a handcuff and that's it. That's all his value is. You can't use Zamir White by himself. Now, you couldn't use Tajay Spears this past week, no. But maybe in the future, we're going to have a point where that starts to become more of a feature. So keep that in mind with Tajay Spears. San Francisco, Pittsburgh. San Francisco is the real deal. You know, Pittsburgh's not a bad team. San Francisco made them look a lot worse than what they really are. And, you know, we saw Brock Purdy look like he had no negative effects from that injury. Of course, Brandon Ayuk goes out, has himself a day. Now, if you were somebody who had Brandon Ayuk on your bench, and he was on your bench because you started guys who were ranked ahead of him, don't beat yourself up. You did the right thing. Now, doing the right thing and having the perfect outcome, those are not the same thing, right? Everybody expects because you make the right start sit decisions that always it's going to work out. And that's just not how this game is played. So don't beat yourself up. There was no way you could have seen the future. If you make that start sit decision based on a process every single week and you stick to that process, you're going to be right more than you're wrong. Well, unless your process is like something goofy, but you're going to be right more than you're wrong. And that's the key. So don't beat yourself up if Ayuk was on your bench. I mean, at $4,900, I hope he was in some DFS lineups, but don't beat yourself up if he was on your bench. Deontay Johnson banged up in this one, could miss a little bit of time. We'll talk about Allen Robinson and Calvin Austin on the show tomorrow. The expectation is possibly a couple weeks. Pat Freiermuth banged up, but doesn't look like he's going to miss any time here. Arizona, Washington. Arizona has a fight in this one. Shout out to Arizona for that. James Conner really the only viable option. Although I'll talk about Zach Ertz. He was heavily used. However, I want to key in on the other side because I know some people are going to lose their minds, as people do after week one, over Antonio Gibson. So Brian Robinson, 20 touches. Antonio Gibson, 4. Robinson played 38 snaps. Antonio Gibson, 24. This was, as I said on the podcast on Friday, a Robinson game. Now, it ended up being closer than the spread had it, than I had it, etc., but it was a Robinson game. Not every game is going to be like this where Washington is favored and expected to play from the lead against a team who on paper is one of the worst in the league. There will be better days ahead for Gibson. Don't freak out after week one and drop players for no reason. Like, Gibson is not droppable right now, and I'll talk more about that tomorrow on the show. Houston, Baltimore, the biggest injury of the week, unfortunately, J.K. Dobbins, torn Achilles. In this contest, that just sucks. It flat out sucks. I feel so bad for J.K. Dobbins here. Now, what do we see with him off the field? I mean, we saw Justice Hill get in the end zone twice, but we also saw Gus Edwards is still there. So Hill played 17 snaps in this game, Gus Edwards 13. Now, they likely will also sign Melvin Gordon to the active roster. They haven't done that. There's no rumblings out there. This is just me reading the tea leaves. So we could still have a full-blown committee. So I actually don't think, and you'll hear this tomorrow on the show, that Hill is the top waiver ad. I do not think that. By the way, Isaiah Likely, yeah, I bit on that. That sucked. I had Mark Andrews in a couple leagues. That sucked. Also, Zay Flowers looked really good. Rashad Bateman did not run as many routes as Flowers or Beckham. Beckham ran 26, Flowers 25, Bateman 15. Be careful with Bateman in that wide receiver group right there. All right, moving over to Green Bay and Chicago. Aaron Jones, a little bit of a hamstring injury. Had a fantastic game, though, and it isn't expected to keep him out. A couple takeaways here, though. First and foremost, Jordan Love answered the call, man. Three passing scores in this game and really likes Romeo Doubs. really likes him. So that all is good right there and should be even better when Christian Watson comes back. But here, let's talk about the other side. Yes, Roschon Johnson's fantasy numbers were the best of the bunch. But look at the backfield and tell me what this sounds like. All right, snaps played. Roschon, 26. Herbert, 25. Foreman, 21. Touches, Herbert, 12. Roschon, 11. Foreman, 7. That, my dear listener, is a full-blown committee. Now, Roschon should be on rosters. I know a lot of people wanted to drop him this week, which really, I think, is foolish. So if he's out there, scoop him up. People do this all the time. They make foolish drops heading into week one. But don't expect him to always be a viable fantasy option. However, I do think that the cream is ultimately going to rise. And if it does, you know, that's going to happen later in the season. It's not going to happen right away. All right, Vegas and Denver. Jacoby Myers, the big story here. First Raider since Tim Brown in 1997 to have 50-plus receiving yards and two receiving touchdowns in the season opener. Of course, all of that was cut short at the end of the game when he left with a concussion. It looked to be a pretty bad one, so I would not expect him to play in week two, but I don't think he's out for too long. Jacoby Myers looked awesome in his game, and like Jimmy G was on a wavelength with him. Now, it also helped that Pat Surtain was on Devontae Adams. Adams was fine here. Adams ran 49 routes. Myers ran 44. Listen to this. The next most routes was a tie between Christian Wilkerson and Hunter Renfrow. 12. They barely played 11 personnel with three wide receivers on the field. Now, Renfrow would obviously step into the Myers role if Myers is out, but ugh, no thank you. Greg Dulcich was hurt in this one, ruled out in the third quarter. We'll keep an eye on his status. If Myers is somehow out there in your league, even with the concussion, I would pick him up, but I don't think he's available widely enough in a lot of leagues. As far as the backfield too, so Denver, you saw Javonte Williams looked fine, had 17 touches. Samaje Perine looked fine, had 12 touches. It sounds like Williams is on the right side of the committee, but he isn't. It was 29 snaps each. It was a 50-50 split for these guys, so don't get too carried away. The nice thing here, Williams looked good. He's going to continue to play, obviously, but Samaje Perine is not going anywhere in that backfield. Philly and New England, this one looked like it was going to be a blowout for Philly, and it ended up not being a blowout for Philly. A couple big takeaways. First one, Kenny Gainwell is the lead back in that backfield, and actually isn't even close. He played 38 snaps, 17 for DeAndre Swift, 8 for Boston Scott. DeAndre Swift barely touched the ball, but he isn't droppable for me just yet. Rashad Penny might be droppable. He was a healthy scratch. So let's be careful there, but Kenny Gainwell, he's going to be in waivers tomorrow for us on this podcast. Moving over to New England, Mac Jones put up some big numbers in a losing effort, but how about the wide receiver routes run? Kendrick Bourne, who had himself a day, and we will talk about him tomorrow, 52 routes run. Kayshon Boutte, 41 routes run, then DeMario Douglas and Juju Smith-Schuster, 26. Kendrick Bourne, interestingly enough, is the top receiver. Hunter Henry looks like he might be back in our good graces as well. I'll talk about him tomorrow. The best game of the week, Miami and the Chargers. This game had 969 combined yards. That's crazy. 60 combined first downs, 7 lead changes. It was a heavyweight fight where Tua Tagovailoa and Tyreek Hill went bananas. Tua had 466 passing yards. That was the fourth most in NFL history in a season opener. Tyreek Hill went 215 receiving yards, ninth career game with 175-plus receiving yards. That is the second most in NFL history. By the way, 4 of his 9 have come with Miami. He's only played 18 games with Miami. Tua, the second Dolphins quarterback with multiple 400-yard passing games. You may have heard of the other one. That's Dan Marino. So, I mean, this was insane on that side of the football field. And don't worry, Jalen Waddle will get his at times. And by the way, if you rolled with Raheem Mostert, wasn't terrible. It's just Tyreek Hill got everything. On the other side, well, it wasn't as good for the passing game, but don't freak out if you have Justin Herbert. It was all about the run game, though. Kellen Moore went bananas with Austin Eckler and Joshua Kelly. Eckler is Eckler. We're good there. You're not listening to this podcast for me to say, yeah, keep him on your roster or whatever. He had a great game. You know this. But Joshua Kelly, let's put this into context. So he had 91 rushing yards. And as of right now, obviously the Monday night game has not happened yet. That's the fourth most among running backs. He played 34 snaps to 41 for Austin Eckler. He's going to be involved. He's going to be more than a cuff. Like, yes, he is a cuff, but he is more than a cuff going forward. And there may be points where some of these guys, like Algier, like Kelly, are going to be flex options for us. He played really well and fits in that offense. All right, Rams, Seattle. I don't know, man. The Rams showed up. How about that? The offense on paper is like the defense, everything on the paper. Do you recognize any of these dudes? Well, now we will. Puka Nacua and Tutu Atwell each had 119 receiving yards. That was more than the Seahawks had as a team. Each of them out-caught them. Nacua, though, was really the headline. 15 targets, 10 catches. It was very clear that with no Cooper Kupp out there, Nacua was Matthew Stafford's guy, not Tyler Higbee. Although Higbee, it wasn't a disaster. It wasn't good if you played him, but it wasn't a disaster. Nacua, we will talk about tomorrow. We will talk about Atwell tomorrow. We will talk about Kyren Williams tomorrow because Cam Akers had one of the worst rushing performances I've ever seen. He was minus 41 rushing yards over expected. In other words, really bad. He averaged 1.3 yards per carry, and we just saw more of Kyren Williams in this game. Don't worry too much about Seattle. It was week one. They'll get things back on the rails. Finally, let's round it out with Dallas and the Giants. On the Dallas side, they did not have to do anything to win this game. They had a defensive touchdown and a special, well, I guess you would call it a special teams touchdown. No, I guess it's a block kick is a defensive touchdown. So anyway, they had two defensive touchdowns in the first quarter alone. They didn't have to do anything to win this game. They already won it at that point. But Tony Pollard, for good measure, did score two touchdowns, and so it's all good there. But don't freak out for Dak, CeeDee Lamb, etc. They outclassed the Giants immediately. They blew them out of the water. 40-0. That was the largest shutout in Dallas franchise history. So do we have concerns for the Giants? Not for Saquon Barkley, not really for Darren Waller, and I was glad to see him out there. But I tell you what, Daniel Jones needs to do more as a passer for me to have confidence in that team. And like as of right now, I have absolutely no confidence in their pass catchers other than Waller and Saquon Barkley. So if I had any piece in them and I was hoping for something, we got to see something out of Daniel Jones before that changes. Now also, you know, a lot of people make a big deal about Kirk Cousins in primetime games. Jones is now 1-11. As a starter in primetime games. So and I don't know if there's much to that, but boy, was that not good. As I mentioned, tomorrow on the show, we will dive into the waiver wire. I'll go deep like I always do. Right now, I made a quick list. There's 41 players on it. So whether you're in a shallow 8-team league, a deep 16-team league, everything in between, I got you covered. Plus, we'll talk about Fab on the podcast tomorrow. I would think that Tuesdays are going to be our longest podcast of the week because it's a pretty darn important one. So in the meantime, head on over to ftnfantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK will get you 10% off. Follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe and keep reviewing this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Every review that you put in, if you haven't done it already, it helps this podcast out more than you know. All right, I will catch you on the flip side for the first big waiver run of the year. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.